Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On X at Rich Scioli and Instagram at Scioli Show. Tim Murtaugh is a Philly guy. He's a senior advisor to President Donald Trump, and he's an author, and he joins me now. Tim, welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Rich. Thanks very much. Recovering a little bit from the Eagles game yesterday, but we're going to be all right.
Oh, brother, I tell you what, man. It was I had to eat an extra sausage and pepper sandwich just to calm myself down, you know?
Yeah, you could tell that one was over from the very beginning.
And then, and Sirianni had a press conference today. I don't know if you caught it, but I don't know. If I were him, I'd be a little nervous. That's all I'm saying. I'd be a little nervous.
Yeah, I would. I think I would be too if I were he.
And you know what's painful about watching the Eagles game is all the friggin' Kamala Harris commercials and all the lies. And still, the Project 2025. I got to tell you, man, I don't think that message is resonating at all. I don't think people get it. I really don't. And, you know, we've said this before in politics. If you have to explain it, you're losing. I don't know if anyone knows what the hell they're even talking about, but it's always constantly these commercials.
Yeah, and it's pretty bizarre, too, but she wants to attack Donald Trump by attacking something that is someone else's agenda. It's not even his agenda, and he's been very clear that everything that's in it is not connected to him. He didn't sanction it. He didn't help write it. Nothing. He had nothing to do with it. So she wants to pin that to Donald Trump, but she wants no ownership of her own record and her own agenda, which she herself has been very clear about and on the record about over the course of decades in her political career. And she doesn't want any ownership of that, but she'll just grab whatever because it has some conservatives behind it and say, there you go, this is what Trump is running on, even though it's not. And he repeatedly says so. It just shows you how empty and vacant her entire campaign is. The whole thing is a fraud. All of it is fake. It's outrageous.
Yeah, I would think it matters more that you're paying $20.25 for a freaking dozen eggs than Project 2025 matters to people. I really do. And particularly in Pennsylvania with the economy and the other thing, too, about fracking. So let's talk about Pennsylvania first. I mean, Trump's been all over the place. He was out in Western PA the other day, and I know he was talking to the farmers. I like that message a lot. I mean, between agriculture and fracking, these two industries, I think he dominates on both of those areas, Tim. I really do.
Yeah, I think so, too. And with Kamala Harris, you know, not only has she been an enemy of fracking, which, of course, would be devastating to the Pennsylvania economy as a whole, 120,000 jobs across the Commonwealth, depending on the fracking industry. She's also hostile to every aspect of fossil fuel use in American society. She is an original co-sponsor of the Green New Deal, which has as its stated mission the eradication of the use of fossil fuels. She wants to force everyone into electric cars and get you out of your gas-powered vehicle. And not any of that makes any sense with she claims to have this opportunity economy that she wants to move everybody into. Well, if you take away people's cars and make them take mass transit, for example, that severely limits your options as to where it is that you can go and look for a job. If you don't have a car to take you out there and you can't afford one of these massively expensive electric vehicles that she wants to force you into, then you're going to have to take mass transit. And mass transit will not get you to every single job that's available in the country. If you live in the city like Philadelphia, that's one thing. If you're out in the suburbs or in the more rural part, then it's not going to be helpful. She is a disaster. She wants to ruin our economy, and she has always been in the hip pocket of the leftist radical environmentalist. That's what she always has adhered to, and that's what she would do as president. She did it as a senator. She's done it as vice president. There's no reason to believe she wouldn't just continue.
You know, and I saw, not to just get off that topic, but she's also an enemy of the Second Amendment. There was a great piece in National Review today by the editors about this, and I mean, she has a long storied history about being anti-Second Amendment, which I think matters to a lot of Pennsylvanians as well. Enthusiastically supported the mandatory confiscation of 20 million plus guns that are already in circulation. And for her to go out there and say, I've got a gun, and if you break into my house, you're getting shot. I mean, that was such a stupid thing to say. And nobody believes her. And I think that everybody in Pennsylvania needs to be very, very mindful of the fact that both Harris and Waltz have a long history of being anti-Second Amendment.
Absolutely, she has a long history of that, and I don't buy any of this nonsense that she's trying to invent now about, oh, you break into my house and I'll shoot you. First of all, the Kamala Harris of about 3.5 months ago would be horrified at the new Kamala Harris for having said that. Second, there's tape of her. You can find it on Trump War Room's X feed. It's at Trump War Room. There's tape of her speaking when she was the DA in California, DA in San Francisco, of her talking about, I don't care if you think that if you're a law-abiding citizen, you got your gun locked away in your house, you're doing a good job. Yep. No, we're going to come in and go house to house and check on these things. She was talking about going door to door and checking on people and how they're handling their legally owned firearm, law-abiding citizens. She absolutely supported a mandatory gun buyback. And another way to say gun buyback, if it's mandatory, is gun confiscation, Rich. That's easy for you to say. Gun confiscation, right? That is not optional. She is absolutely an enemy of the Second Amendment. She always has been. And it's only now that she's trying to run. Again, you see the problem. She has never run a race on her own, carrying the banner on the ticket outside of California. Once again, she's exposed. She is a San Francisco liberal trying desperately not to be one. And it's going to get her every time. She can't hide that.
Yeah, you know, and I played that clip on the show, and it scared the hell out of me. I mean, think of the idea that just because you own a legal gun doesn't mean we're going to stop. We're not going to come into your house and check on it. I mean, it's insane. It's like communist policy. Absolutely. It's totalitarian. And then, mandatory buyback means you don't have a choice, which means that, you know, all the government's doing at that point is just. Yeah, they're just compensating you for the property that they've taken from you, but you don't have a choice. It's mandatory. I know what that word means. I'm not an idiot. Stop making me feel like an idiot.
Right. And you know, the worst part of it is that when you watch these tapes of her, she says it with such glee, right? She's so proud of the fact that she wants to go door to door. And she says, I've got the power to go door to door, and we're going to check out your guns in your house. You know, she's proud of that. And now to now say, oh, I'm no threat to you and your Second Amendment. No. This all exists on videotape. You said these things, and these are the types of things that you can't take back. And that's her biggest problem. She cannot own up to what her record has always been. You can draw a straight line from her radical days in San Francisco politics to what she has stood for in Washington, D.C. She now, and then the biggest question, and there's a big debate tomorrow night, the vice presidential debate, J.D. Vance against Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. The big question is going to be, you say that there's all these problems going on in the country, and we agree there's a lot of problems in the country. What exactly have you been doing for the last 3.5 years when you've been vice president? That's what Tim Walz is going to have to answer for. Oh, yeah, what is your ticket mate? What does she have to say for herself? What she's been in Washington doing nothing for 3.5 years, acts like she just got there 15 minutes ago and just figured out there are all these problems. Well, newsflash, she helped create them with Joe Biden. She's got no answer for that.
Hey, Tim Murtaugh, I'm going to play a clip for you. This is a flashback clip. As we're talking right now about the aid that's going on right now for Hurricane Helene, and I see on Fox News right now, Trump's on the ground in Georgia. But this is a flashback. This is Kamala Harris. This is End Wokeness on X found this clip of her talking about aid for floods and hurricanes and all these things should be distributed based on race and gender. I want to play this for you. Cut 13.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities and do that work.
So that's AIDS or equity. You think she's going to be pressed on that at any point, Tim? You think Walz will be pressed on that? He's another guy who said equity before.
Well, they certainly should be, because she's clearly there trying to say that in a roundabout way and talking in various code words that the left usually does. She's basically saying, you know, to each according to their need and from each according to their ability to pay, right? If you are, say, upper middle class, in her mind, you don't get any flood relief. Let's say all of your property was wiped away. I'm sorry, you were wealthy to begin with. Now you're ruined. Sorry about that. You should have been born poor, is what she's basically saying, which is a pretty radical stance, if you ask me. Another thing is, she is the sitting vice president of the United States. Candidate for president or not, she is the sitting vice president of the United States. We know that the president, the current president of the United States, is not up to the job. Therefore, you'd think that she would be out there front and center as the face of the Biden-Harris administration response to this terrible, terrible, ravaging hurricane. But she is not. Donald Trump is on the ground in Georgia handing out relief supplies. Kamala Harris is on a plane returning from San Francisco, where she was out in California raising money for her campaign. She was at a political fundraiser while Donald Trump was being prepared for and getting down onto the ground to help the flood victims in person. He's not even in office.
Yeah.
She is. He's doing her job for her. It's unbelievable.
And she still can't answer on the economy. I mean, she's bad at this. I mean, that Oprah, I don't even know what you call that, that bad. And then the other night on MSNBC, I mean, she's bad at this. They have to be thinking to themselves, man, you know, especially when you look at the union workers and how the union workers are all backing Trump to such a degree, they might have had a better shot with Biden staying in the race at this point. I don't know, but they've got to be having buyer's remorse over this. You've been in this game a long time, Tim. I mean, she is one of the, I'd say, one of the worst candidates I've ever seen, honestly.
They absolutely have to be looking at each other like, man, I can't believe she was able to jam herself in here after Biden was forcibly shoved off the stage. Harris got jammed in there before anybody could even possibly react. And you know, her headquarters now, it's staffed with a bunch of Harris people, a bunch of Biden people, and a bunch of Obama people. And right now, the Obama people are looking around at each other, at everybody saying, see, I told you she was no good.
Yeah.
But everybody else, you know, is like, and then, so there's a tug of war going on there, too. One side thinks that she should go out and do more interviews. The other side thinks that she should not. Well, the Biden people sending her out there saying, go ahead and do these TV interviews. And, man, it has turned out to be a disaster. And the Obama people are saying, you know, we're the smart guys in here. We shouldn't do any more of this. And you'll soon see stories coming out of there where there's a war going on inside because it is not going well. And it's no one's fault, really. They just have the worst candidate ever. That's all.
Yeah, it's so true. By the way, I want to mention Tim's book, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. Good for you, man, for writing this book and sharing your story about that. Very, very cool. I was really impressed to see that. I actually know somebody who was dealing with addiction that read your book and mentioned that it was a big inspiration for their own personal struggle. I just wanted to pass that along to you. I think that that's great. So I would highly recommend it. Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. And you have some cool inside stories from the campaign from 2020 on there as well, right?
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate you bringing it up, and I appreciate what you told me there about somebody that you know. That's why I wrote it, because when I was in rehab multiple times, I always went to the bookstore, and I wanted to read about people's personal stories, how they managed to overcome things and the different scrapes that they got themselves in, and there's a lot of that. There's also some behind-the-scenes stuff from the 2020 Trump campaign. Now I'm back at it here in 2024. There's also some scenes take place in Philadelphia in my book, because I went to Temple University. There's a couple from when I was in college. I grew up in Delaware County, went to Ridley High School in Delco, and there's some stories in there that are from that time period. So I think it's got some local color, and if you like politics or if you know anybody who is struggling with addiction, it could be the right read for you. So I appreciate that. It's available on Amazon right now. Swing Hard in Case You Hit It by me, Tim Mertzall. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that.
You bet, Tim. My pleasure, buddy. All right, come back and talk to us again soon. I know we'll have a lot of to chat about next week. And in the meantime, follow Tim at Tim Mertzall. Thanks, Tim.
You bet. I appreciate it, Rich. Thanks so much.
Talk soon, pal.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, as we continue along here, speaking of how bad Kamala Harris is, here, let me play this clip for you. She was asked about her economic plan while on a basketball podcast. Still can't answer the friggin' question. Still can't answer the question. This is a bad, bad candidate. I'm telling you. Telling you. Cut five.
Going from a show to a whole entire company, what is your economic plan moving forward for people who are living paycheck to paycheck and struggling for groceries and rent and homeowners?
So, look, I grew up, so my sister and I were raised by our mother. We lived for a long time in an apartment on top of a child care center. That child care center was actually owned by a woman who lived two doors down from us, Mrs. Shelton, who was, by all of our accounts and feelings, our second mother. She helped raise us. And so she was a small business owner. So I'll start with the small business and congratulations on
what you guys have done.
I, from a child, knew who our small business owners are, right? I mean, you're business leaders, but you're also civic leaders. You take seriously your voice and how you can mentor, how you can grow, right?
So
communities and the sense of communities. I love our small businesses. And so a lot of my work in terms of building and growing the economy has focused on small businesses. And my vision overall is we need to build an opportunity economy in which we increase opportunity for all, including small business owners. So a lot of my work, even in the Senate, was about increasing access to capital through our small businesses and in particular through our community banks. Mm-hmm. So I've been responsible for billions of dollars more now going into our community banks because they're in the community and then they know who's in the community and where the talent is and who's doing good in the community, what the community wants. Mm-hmm.
I guess if you just say community a bunch of times and you just, you know, but you notice how she, with the story she starts with, it's all planned. It's all scripted. There's nothing spontaneous about this candidate in any way, shape or form. Nothing. And it's brutal. It's just brutal. It really is. It frustrates me to no end to have to listen to this. And these commercials are driving me friggin' nuts. Now, I'll tell you, though, and here's the good news. Is that if these commercials are driving you nuts, they're driving everybody nuts. And there's so many of them. Her whole strategy, because you know what's interesting, right? So Mertzall was saying, all right, there's a debate going on. Does she do more interviews? Do they hide her? You know what's driving a lot of this? I'll tell you. So the other night, I was making Saturday night, because I couldn't go. I was supposed to make wine on Saturday, but I had the shingles thing, right? So I couldn't do that. And I wound up making a nice big family pasta dinner with the kids. And it was really good, too. I had some guanciale, pig cheek, and with some rigatoni. Delish, right? Pasta alla Gricia. It's great. Anyway, while I was doing that, I listened to the latest episode of a podcast called Pod Save America. I've never listened to this before, but I wanted to hear what the Obama guys were saying about Kamala Harris's sit-down interview. And I do this a lot. I will listen to the other side's analysis. I'll do this all the time because I'm always trying to figure out what's really going on here. What's actually at play? And I do this for you so you don't have to waste your time doing this. All right. So I'm in there prepping. I'm listening to this episode. It's a half hour or so. And it's this guy, John Favreau, not the actor, and this other guy, the lesser co-host. And they're going back and forth about this. Now, they're going on about how great she did. But they're saying how she's definitely had media training and how in the media training, which these guys have done, they always tell you to answer a question by telling a story. And they start basically explaining how she comes across robotic without saying it because they're trying to praise her. And then they immediately switch gears to start savaging Trump for his press conference outside of or at Trump Tower. But one of the things that struck me about this is that one of the guys made the comment of they should let her do more of these type of interviews because she's very comfortable with the person who's asking the questions. Meaning you get another Oprah, you get another Stephanie Ruhle, and you let Kamala sit down with them and they could be chit-chatty, buddy-buddy, chit-chat, you know, chit-chat, buddy-buddy, and that she's really good in that environment. Translation? Do not put her near an actual reporter. Do not put her in that situation. But here's what they did say. They said, she always starts off slow, and then when you get her fired up, then she just goes. And it got me thinking. Here's their strategy. They're going to put her in an interview with another friendly, and they're going to ask her a question that she's going to get fired up about so that they can show this level of passion. It's all going to be pre-scripted. It's all going to be pre-planned with another friendly. But they're not going to let her near an actual journalist. They're not going to let her near, not there's really any journalist, but they're not going to let her near anyone who can do an actual interview because they acknowledge she's not good at it. And the other point, too, the other takeaway I got from this was, they're going to just bombard the airwaves with these commercials because they've raised so much money and they have money. And they think that if they can just saturate the airwaves with this money and scare people about Trump and Project 2025, that that's their secret to the election. And it's almost like they're acknowledging that as long as they're not having to talk about the economy, as long as they're not having to defend this economy, then they're going to be OK. They're gonna be all right. And I kept thinking, we are watching a production here. This is not a campaign like we've ever seen before. This is a scripted Hollywood production. You want to talk about fake and phony? This is it. This is fake and phony. But there's an ad that's playing that's a Trump ad that goes after Kamala Harris for her support of transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants, prisoners, and others. Charlemagne the God, who hosts a morning drive show. Charlemagne the God is black, and the people on the show are black, and they talk about a lot of different things. I don't think he's really a fan of Kamala, but he pointed out that this is an effective ad by Trump. So here's what Charlemagne the God said about this. Take a listen.
I'll tell you what, that ad they was running during the football games this weekend claiming the vice president supports funding gender transition surgeries for all prison inmates and migrants in the U.S., that was nuts. I don't know if it was the backdrop of football, but when you hear the narrator say Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners, that one line, I was like, hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
I definitely see that. She did
that. Ad was effective.
Kamala took a picture with a transgender. It was just what they were saying, that it made it seem like Kamala supports transgender sex changes in jail with our money. That's what it came across.
It literally said that Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners. And it talks about how, you know, she supports funding gender transition surgeries for all prison inmates and migrants in the United States. That ad was impactful.
Was it because it was during football?
Yes.
I think it was because it was during football.
But then last week they had the same thing running on Tim Walsh and said he likes tampons in boys' bathrooms.
I don't think I would have paid that commercial no attention if it was any other time. But when you're watching football and you just mind, you just what the hell? In between big commercials, they give you this?
Yes,
he's right. I agree with him. A lot of black guys watching football. They're like, what are you doing with my money? What's happening? What are you paying for with my money? That's what he's saying right there. Walts got booed. Oh, man. The Michigan college football. Where is the game was against Minnesota, and he went to the game, got booed. You love this, DeSantis, don't you? You love this. They weren't able to bust in all the supporters. So Walts got booed. Did you see him run over to the mascot like a weirdo? Did you see that?
Everything he does is weird.
He ran over to that, I don't know, what is it, a beaver or something mascot?
Gopher.
Gopher. He ran over to that friggin' gopher. It was so bizarre. Like, creepy.
Just showed it on Fox.
Did you see it?
Why can't he act normal?
No, it's a grown man running towards somebody in a gopher costume. Like, enthusiastically charging at the person, am I right?
Yeah.
And all I said was, dude, stay away from my kids. Like, don't go near my children. I don't want you anywhere near my children. And no grown man should react that way to a freaking dude in a gopher. If it was a real gopher that was that big and walking around, like, okay, that's different. But it's just a guy in a gopher mascot. He's like, ooh, a goofy Midwestern doofus. Oh, gopher. And he comes over and, like, hugs it and he...
Someone said that he looks like a 5-year-old at Disney World reacting to seeing Mickey Mouse for the first time.
Yeah, that's a great analogy right there. That's a great analogy. Like running, I think it's real. Like, it's really Mickey Mouse. And be like, oh my God, my hero in person. You're so much bigger than you are on TV. Whoa. Or the kid who completely gets his dream shattered when he sees Mickey's head off and the dude smoking a cigarette behind one of the princess castles, and he's like, what? Oh, what's happening here? I don't understand. And then the Mickey Mouse, so he's like, I'm on my break, kid, get out of here. You know, puffing away. It's like, I don't know, my world is collapsing. I think Tim Walz thinks it's a real friggin' gopher. That's what I think. Yeah. Goofball. He's such a friggin' goofball. He got booed, though. This is him getting booed. This was funny. Cut 24. That's terrible. Get out of here. What did you think of Saturday Night Live's impression of Tim Walz? Did you like it? DeSantis?
Yeah, I thought Jim Gaffigan was pretty good.
Yeah, Gaffigan did a good job mocking him, I thought. And just the belly. They nailed the big belly. You know how he's got that huge belly with, like, the khakis, and he goes below the belly and the tie? And if Chris Farley were alive today, he would have nailed it. Because he's kind of like Chris Farley's character. Remember when he used to do the motivational speaker? Matt, whatever his name was, who was living in a van down by the river. Do you remember that character? Or is that before your time?
I don't, but... Yeah, I don't remember it.
It was great. You remember that, Kirk? You remember that?
Yep.
And I'm living in a van. You don't want to be living down by the river. And he would do that whole thing.
Matt Foley motivational speaker.
Yes. That's who Tim Walz reminds me of. Matt Foley motivational speaker. Like, you better get your stuff together or you're going to be living in a van down by the river. And he's going to be all fat and goofy. Like, oh my God, this is the worst motivational speaker at it. So here's Saturday Night Live mocking Tim Walz. Cut 23.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Folks, I haven't been this excited since I got a 10% rebate on a leaf blower from Menards. What can I say? I got that BDE, Big Dad Energy. See what I did there? You get it?
I got it. I didn't want it, but I got it.
You know, Trump and Vance are weird. All right, and they want the government to control what you do in your bedroom and what books you read. You know, in Minnesota, we have a saying, mind your damn business. We also have another saying in Minnesota, mine froze to the park bench. I gotta be honest here, folks. When Kamala Harris called me and asked me to be her vice president, I said, yeah. This is personal for me. I love this country. And as a former teacher, I need the money.
He goes on to say, my suit came from Costco. It was pretty funny, actually. But the mocking of Tim Walz, I think some of the Saturday Night Live writers listen to this show, Matt DeSantis. That's what I think.
Why do you say that?
Because what have I called Tim? I'm sorry, Doug Emhoff. I mean, not Tim Wolf, Doug Emhoff. What have I been calling Doug Emhoff? B-Modus, beta male of the United States of America. Have I not been saying that?
Of course, yeah. That's your title.
That's my thing.
I even use it as a podcast title.
Thank you. You title the podcast B-Modus, beta male of the United States of America, about Tim Walz, or Doug Emhoff, I mean, the first gentleman, second gentleman, whatever the hell he would be. And this is he kind of goes there with that a little bit. Cut 22.
But you know, Tim is not the only white dude for Harris here today. There's a very special one who's given me so much, including a sweet son and a very Brooklyn daughter. It's my husband, Doug.
Teach me how to do it. Teach me.
The second gentlemanch, also known as Charlie Brown if he was a grown-up. Guys, how amazing is Kamala? I mean, look at her! I feel like I'm in one of those movies where Seth Rogen dates Charlize Theron. I mean, how did I get this woman? And look, I've heard what the right says about me just because I'm unapologetic about being a man supporting his wife. Oh, he's a beta, a wife guy.
See?
A trad huzz. A little spoon. Well, you know what? If helping Kamala, who we call Mamala in my family, not sure if I mentioned that, become president, being a little spoon, then you can cut my little butt. Because I am proud to join the esteemed list of presidential spouses throughout history. Women and men, but all women.
All right. You see, beta, that's what I'm talking about. They got it. B-Modus, beta male of the United States of America, Doug Emhoff. And I'm just saying, somebody, maybe a writer, listens to this show. I'm just pointing it out. You never know. Just saying.
Andy Samberg did a great job as Emhoff, I thought.
He did. Yes, he did. He was very funny. And what do you think of the guy who does Trump on Saturday Night Live? What do you think about him?
He's all right.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Farage is better.
Definitely
better. But, I mean,
Shane Gillis is way better also.
Yeah, Gillis is great. I mean, Gillis' Trump is fantastic.
Oh,
it's great,
Shane
right?
Gillis
yeah,
Trump.
Gillis is great. But I don't know. I guess he doesn't do it a lot, does he? I mean, I saw him play in Philly recently. He didn't do it at all. He didn't do his Trump impression at all, but he nailed it.
He brings it out, like, very rarely. Like, I know there's this, comedy show in Texas that Kill Tony that he does, and he was, like, him and he had somebody else on that played Joe Biden. This was back in, like, June. They did a whole two-hour special about that.
That was funny. But the best is when he comes out and he talks about when they killed that terrorist, Abu. And he goes, Abu, he cried like a dog. And I said, Abu, don't cry. I mean, that was the greatest. He cried like a dog, died like a dog. I said, Abu, don't cry. That was so funny. All right, we got a lot to get to. Kamala Harris spoke about the storm response, a pre-scripted response. The Grand Hotel will be live there on October 11th. So we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel October 11th. I want you to join us for that, please, because this is our happy hour and they make it happy. We will have a live show. Live shows always go off the rails. October, it's a holiday weekend. You can make a long weekend out of it if you like. The bar will be open. That is Friday, October 11th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So make sure you join us for that, all right? We're going to do that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up, the battle for Pennsylvania. What does Erie County have to do with everything? And why is it that America's young men are falling even further behind because of Joe Biden's policies? and a lot to break down for you. We're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's telling? This black schoolgirl who was interviewed by CNN, I like, this is very, very telling here. And I don't think this went the way they wanted it to go. So she said it would be good to have a black woman for president, but this is from CNN. CNN interview with this with some school children, and cut 26.
It'd be good for us to have a black woman as president for the first time in history.
Yeah,
but my vote's kind of still on Trump.
Ooh, ouch! Yeah, amazing. How people can look beyond that stuff to think about who's a better person for the job. Now, that my guess is that that's reflective of her parents, which tells me probably her parents, who I'm assuming are black. I don't know. I mean, she could be adopted or something in terms of, you know, who her parents are. But I mean, assuming that she's with her biological parents, assuming that they're black, black voters. I mean, this is, we're seeing a trend here. I mean, Trump is doing better with black voters than any Republican has before, certainly. And that's the thing. And the whole, like, history-reaching, history-breaking, glass ceiling shattering, it's not going to be a thing. I'm telling you, people care more about the economy and immigration and all these other things. That's the reality. Even Jasmine Crockett, who's on MSNBC with Nicole Wallace, says Kamala needs to explain why she's not on the ground right now to support Hurricane Helene victims. So let's do a contrast, right? Trump flies down to Georgia today, and he brings all these resources with him. And he says, look, I know we're in the middle of a campaign, but we got to be down here. We got to be doing these things. Kamala Harris goes down. She read a 5-minute pre-written, pre-scripted thing at FEMA and then disappeared. Took no questions and was out of there. But not on the ground, not wearing the waders, you know, the boots, not going out and actually joining in the fight. And this is, because again, she's a bad candidate. So this is even MSNBC, far right wing MSNBC, criticizing her for this. Take a listen.
But if you're a desperate person hurting, someone with a pail or a rowboat or a bottle of water is a really welcome sight. How do you balance those things?
Yeah, I think it is really tough. And I think it is important that she explain why she's there.
She's not there. That's the thing. She's not there. So she goes down there and she talked about I don't know what she said, really. We have a short clip of what she said to FEMA, but let's contrast that with what Trump's doing. I think Trump is really smart to be on the ground, to be in the center of it, to show he cares. Here's what Harris said a short time ago. Take a listen.
President Biden and I will continue to make sure that communities have the support and the resources that they need, not only to respond to this storm and its immediate aftermath, but also the resources they will need to recover.
That's it. She comes out there, she was in San Francisco for fundraisers, reads directly from a pre-written script, tells Hurricane Helene victims that they have her support. Showed up to the FEMA headquarters, spent less than 5 minutes reading off that script, and then bolted before the press could ask her any questions. And then poof, she's gone. Like Kaiser Soze, poof, and she's gone. Disappears out of the room. A good politician with good political instincts, like the point that Jasmine Crockett just made in MSNBC, would be on the ground. You see, this is why Trump is good at this. He knows. He gets down there, and he goes down to Georgia, and he's like, I want to be here in the center of the action. I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm here today to campaign. Not to campaign, but I'm here to be here with people. I'm here to the resources. And he said, you know, I know we're in the middle of a campaign, but in a time like this, when a crisis hits, when our fellow citizens cry out in need, none of that matters. We're not talking politics. We all have to get together to get this solved. These are two states that are must-win states of North Carolina and Georgia. I mean, I hate to bring up the politics of this, but that's the bottom line. These are two must-win states of North Carolina and Georgia. And it seems to me like this administration right now is nowhere to be found. And it seems like, once again, Kamala Harris is wasting a tremendous opportunity. Fine with me, but blowing it because she's a bad candidate. I mean, a good candidate would be on the ground. You would just say, I'm suspending my campaign. I'm down here. I'm helping. We're going to help. And you'd be throwing sandbags and doing all those things. And maybe she will. I don't know. I mean, if she doesn't, she's an even bigger dope than I thought in terms of being a candidate, because that's what you got to do during these things. You get out there and you show your support. Many times this stuff, these are optics here is what it is. Optics. And she's terrible at optics. Truly. I mean, just a bad candidate. Now, the fight for the Keystone State, as you know, a couple of things. I want to point something out to you. All right. You win Pennsylvania, you win the whole thing. You know this and I know that. You win Pennsylvania, you win the whole thing. That's the entire ball game. Erie, Pennsylvania, which is now becoming the battleground. Trump was just there. And I guess now they were supposed to go back. I don't know if he's going to go back now because of the storm. Why is Pennsylvania matter so much? A big part of it is the shifting demographics among young men who are struggling and falling behind in this economy. And guess what? You hear them talk all the time about the age gap. They go, there's an age gap, and oh, it's better. Kamala Harris is doing better with younger voters. That's not true. Young men in this country, men, are struggling. Men of all groups are struggling, working class men, and they're falling behind. You go up to Erie County, PA, and that's another great example of this, where industry has left. Hillary Clinton went up there back in 2015, 2016, I guess, and BS'd everybody, just like she did in Buffalo, about how we're going to bring jobs back and we're going to bring this back, restore this manufacturing, and we're going to make this count and everything like this. And it's all BS. And they know it's BS. They know it's BS. And they see that. Kamala Harris is going out there and she's trying to say that she's not an ideologue. But the reality is this. You are looking right now at such a close race here. But why is it that this demographic of young men has fallen behind so much? And a lot of it is the outsourcing of jobs. America's young men are falling even further behind. Men in their 20s and 30s. Think about that now. The 20s and 30s are much more likely than their female peers to live with their parents. And many still say they feel aimless and isolated. Guys who have to live with their parents and then they're trying to date. And they're swiping right and swiping left. And then the girls are all out on their own because they're doing better than the guys. Oof, that's not good. They said out of this one family, out of their four grown children, only their daughter is out of the house. Graduated from business school, got engaged. The three adult sons still sleeping in their childhood bedrooms. The younger two dropped out of college. The oldest never went. And all three are single. Their only work experience is with the family business. The life trajectories of America's sons and daughters are diverging. Presented with a more equal playing field, young women are seizing the opportunities in front of them while young men are floundering. This phenomenon has developed over the past decade, but was supercharged by the pandemic, they say, which derailed careers, schooling, and isolated friends and families. And the results have big implications for the economy. More women ages 25 to 34 have entered the workplace in recent years than ever. The share of young men in the labor market has not grown in a decade. As of August, 89% of this cohort of men were looking for or were employed or looking for work, more than 700,000 fewer than if the current labor force participation was at 2004 levels. But a fifth of men in the same age range still live with their parents as of 2023. That's amazing. A fifth of men in that age range. Dude, you know, these are the guys right now who are hoping that you can make America great again. And for a lot of them, they're finding out that because they're guys, they're getting passed over in the workplace, too, which is another thing. And they're finding places that don't have manufacturing jobs for them as well. And then they say the sense of a lot of young men is that they're not being sure that they are needed or that they're going to be needed by their families, by their communities, or by their societies. And educators began sounding the alarm on high school boys plummeting college attendance rates. And they talk about this, why a lot of young men are just giving up and moving out and they don't see a big future. That's not good. That's not good. Now, if you think about it and you look at that gender gap and you look at how Kamala Harris is, it's a disaster for her with male voters, black voters, Latino voters, white voters who are men and then young men, too. And that's the other thing, too. And you know what it is for a lot of these guys, too? A lot of these guys, they're finding themselves living in communities where the promise has left. Really, these are communities that have been ravaged by the war on energy, where you had coal jobs gone. And then they hear about Kamala Harris's fracking ban. And you tell me, with a guy sleeping on his couch, you can't get a date because he's sleeping on his couch and no girl wants to date him because he's sleeping on his freaking couch. You're telling me that guy's going to vote for Kamala Harris? See, what Charlamagne the God was talking about, too, with that ad about, paying for transgender surgeries. And he's like, young black men hearing that ad are going, I'm working my ass off. I got to pay for them to get their you-know-whats chopped off in prison. These guys who went criminals, illegal immigrants, I got to pay for the chop off or the add-on. I'm not doing that. No way. I think what Trump does with these younger voters is he gives them a sense of hope. And you don't have that with Kamala Harris. You just don't. You don't have that. This is not a hopeful, optimistic campaign. It really isn't. And that's a big problem. And then the other point, too, that you have is you've got what I think everybody sees, which is this group of elites, a lot of them out there controlling everything. Even Bill Maher acknowledged that point. Bill Maher acknowledged that point in his show, admitting the UN is a joke organization. You heard what Javier Milei said. I played the speech for you the other night. That guy, the president of Argentina, man, that guy's good. He's not a beta. Oh, no, that dude's an alpha, man. He went out there and he told the UN exactly where they can go shove it for their world bond villain globalist takeover agenda. And for a lot of these young guys, they know that people like the WEF, the World Economic Forum, the UN, they don't give a damn about them. And restoring their jobs and protecting farmers and protecting manufacturing jobs. They don't care about any of that stuff. And Trump's appealing directly to that. A message is playing. But boy, it's sad to read this article about young men falling behind in their 20s and 30s. And even just being psychologically, they're psychologically wiped, feeling lonely, feeling like there's no hope. And I wonder how much of that is because they've been told that they're the problem just because they're young white men. Honestly, I wonder how much of that is that. Where they've just been told, hey, you're the bad guy here. No explanation for it. Just years and years of hearing that from their woke teachers and woke classmates. And it becomes defeating for them. I really think that. I wonder how much of that plays into it. The psychological defeatism, like I'm the problem here, you know? I'm the problem. It's me. Lou's in Hamilton. Hey, Lou.
How's it going, Rich?
What's up, Lou?
Listen, that Erie, Pennsylvania area, that whole northwest section of Pennsylvania was once a tool and die and plastic injection mold making mecca. It just had so much manufacturing, and they're $40 an hour jobs in today's world. And most of them got outsourced to China.
Yeah.
If we could bring that work back, and with technology today, it opens it up even more for women. And you know, you can have these kids starting out making $25-$30 an hour in these trades. You know, they're a 4-year journeyman, and after they put the time in, they're making $50 an hour.
Yeah, man, it's true. And Lou, thanks for the call. I'm getting some feedback, so yep. I'll let you go. But Lou, have a great drive home. Yeah, look, I mean, that's why Erie is a great example of this. I mean, I think that Erie, Pennsylvania, and why it's such a battleground right now, and why it may be the county that decides the whole race for everything, is exactly that. It's like the forgotten men and women thing. And this is played. This has been a thing that Trump has tapped into in the Rust Belt. But look, I'll give Barack Obama credit for his 2008 campaign was all about hope and all about, you know, hope and change and everything like this. And then those voters went to Trump in 2016. That coalition of voters broke up and went to Trump. And guess what? Kamala Harris is not getting that coalition of voters back. And this opportunity economy nonsense, that's not the same thing as hope and change. That's not the same thing. And when Trump talks about, we're going to bring back these jobs, we're going to bring back manufacturing, we're going to say that we're going to, you know, put tariffs on products that come in overseas, and we're going to restore the greatness of this. This is music to the ears of these displaced communities, and music to the ears of these young men who think, I don't know if I have a future in this. And then you add the illegal immigration thing to it, and then they hear, yeah, and jobs are being taken. And don't believe the unemployment numbers either. That's all fugazi, because there's a lot more people out of the workforce that are not reflected in the numbers. And the last point is, and that's what Charlemagne the God said, it's don't you dare take my tax dollars. I get up every day. I go to work. I friggin' deal with it. And now you're going to use my tax dollars so that some dude in prison can chop off his schvants? No, thank you. He wants to chop off his schvants. He should have to pay. I'm not paying for that. No way. I'm not paying for that. So some illegal immigrant can come in and get chop, chop, you know, be like the dude in, what is it? Be like Janet Yellen in Silence of the Lambs? No friggin' way. I'm not doing that. I'm not paying for that. Give me a break. No, that's an effective ad. It really is. That's an effective ad. But I actually think, yeah, men favor Trump to Harris 52% to 40%. In every demographic, he's winning in that demographic. But I think really with white men, it's two things. I think it's the manufacturing job thing. I think the other thing is they're tired of being told they're the problem. They're the bad guys, that just by being a white male, you're just bad. I think they've had it with that crap. They really do. They've had it with that. And the other thing, too, and the last point on this, and I'll take a quick break and we'll go to our fourth and final hour, is you look at the union workers who are backing Trump. I think they're mad at their friggin' leadership for always backing these Democrats when the Democrats come out with policies that set them back and set them back financially and their communities back and their cities back. And they know their union leadership backs these Democrats. And I think these union workers have had it. I really do. I think they've had it with them. And they know that their union leadership has to back them, but they want no part of it. That whether the Teamsters, the longshoremen, whoever it is, they want no part of it. No, Trump is the hope candidate in this election. He is. He's the hope candidate. He's the one running on the hope of bringing back American manufacturing. He's the one running on the hope of bringing these American jobs back that have been outsourced overseas. And people believe he can do it. That's the other thing, too. It's one thing to say if they believe he can do it. And that's why he's doing so well with that demographic, a demographic that has been beat up and told that they were bad, watched jobs go away, and is very, very worried about the future. So, and then doesn't want to pay for some dude to chop his family jewels off at the taxpayer's expense in prison, you know, because there's that too. All right, big fourth and final hour straight ahead for you. But I got to tell you quickly about Emmons Roofing and Siding, because winter's coming. Are you ready for winter? Are you? If you're not, you better get ready by calling the people at Emmons Roofing and Siding. I've used these guys for 10 years so far in two different houses, and I'm telling you, they do a great job. A great job. Roof, windows, siding, doors. Your home will not only look beautiful from the curb, it's going to be more energy efficient, and you will love the great work at Emmons. And because they know the economy is challenging, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson window replacement, doors, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com, emmonsroofing.com, or, you know, do what I did and use them for your shore house. Well, I don't have a shore house, but I've sent people to them who have a shore house, and they were so happy with that that they got this check before winter comes. And they serve the shore, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, our whole region. But if you have that shore house, start thinking about winter. You know how brutal it can be on the shore house, right? Emmons will give you a free inspection and then 10% off. You have a lifetime warranty on the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. EmmonsRoofing.com. Trust the company I use, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.